Father, we just thank you for the mission team, the Lord, that's on their way home right now for perfect safety as they travel. And Lord, we're so thankful again for this wonderful team that two brand new homes given away this weekend, Lord. We're so thankful that you've allowed us to be part of that, Father. And just bless them now as they return home, and bless the new families if they receive the key to their dwelling and they're living there fully furnished. And Lord, you are so good. And Lord, we pray for Ed Townsend, just to continually to lift him up to you, for just touch his body, Lord, make him whole. And for Stacy Magella, touching her as well, Lord. And Father, for that poor worker that this morning was diagnosed with Ebola there in Dallas. Just be with that person, Lord. Be with our nation. And we pray for all those that are abroad, Lord. Let not this thing spread through our nation. And we thank you for that. And Lord, as you always do, would you help me again this morning? Teach your word accurately and faithfully, never holding anything back. May every heart be open to hear the truth of your word. Now, we love you this morning. We praise you this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And God's church says, amen. Amen. Let's turn to the Gospel of Luke chapter 11 this morning. The Gospel of Luke chapter 11, beginning in verse 5. Let me read to you. Following the Lord's Prayer, it says that Jesus said to them, it says, which of you shall have a friend? Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 5. Which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. In other words, 3 loaves of bread. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his what? Let's say it together. Persistence, he will rise and give him as many, meaning as much food, as many loaves as he desires or needs. So I say to you, ask, it'll be given to you. Seek, ye shall find. Knock, the door will be open. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And him who knocks, it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will you offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And the church says, amen. You know, I know that this section of scripture is very familiar to us, as it was last Sunday about the Lord's Prayer. Remember that we're now on the road to Jerusalem. Jesus is going to die there for the sins of the world. We've learned the last few weeks about prayer and serving. Remember that we learned from Martha and Mary that Jesus wants us to serve with the hands of Martha, but he wants us to sit at his feet in prayer after we've prayed, to sit at his feet and listen. So we've learned about listening to the Lord in prayer, and then we learned about the Lord's Prayer. Actually, it should be called the disciples' prayer. The Lord's Prayer, by the way, is found in John 17, the high priestly prayer of Jesus, if you want to really study that out. So we've learned about the priority of prayer, how important it is. We've learned about the pattern of prayer from the Lord's Prayer there. But this morning, we're going to talk about our persistence in praying. As a matter of fact, I want to talk to you about shameless persistence this morning. Remember in Matthew, chapter 6, verse 6, Jesus told us about, he said that when you pray, meaning he assumes that we do, when you pray, go into your what? Closet. He said, go into your closet, and when you've shut the door, in other words, when you found a private place to pray every day, he said to us, he says, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Prayer is not our man's idea, is it? No, prayer is God's idea. That's the way he wants us to communicate with one another, is through praying and so forth. When we go into our room, the word room there from Matthew 6:6 that I just read in the Greek means closet, or more better than that would mean storehouse. The room in the house where the family would keep all the things that were valuable to them. So Jesus is saying, when we go in prayer to the place where our treasures are kept, there is going to be treasure for those who pray regularly, who've made prayer a spiritual discipline in our lives. And it says that our Father, who is in secret or knows all things. Is there anything that our Father doesn't know? No, He knows the next attack that's coming. He knows everything you're facing every moment of your life until the moment we close our eyes and go home to be with Him. So it would do us well for us to be people of prayer. Amen? Now, with all that being said this morning, let's look at verse 5 and let's talk about this shameless persistence, if you will. And Jesus said to them, right after the Lord's Prayer, He says, which of you shall have a friend? And let me define that word friend. It means philos in the Greek. We get our word, you know, Philadelphia or philos, phileo or whatever. A friend, a loving friend. Someone that this person knows intimately. So he says, which of you shall have a loving friend? And look what this person did. He go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me three loaves of bread, literally. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey. I don't have any food to set before him. And he will answer and say within and say, oh, don't trouble me. You know, don't pester me right now. The door is shut and my children are with me in bed. In other words, back then, remember how they would sleep primarily in one room and they were all on mats and the kids would be all scattered out in the room. He says, I can't rise up and give to you. I'll wake up my kids, in other words. So I say to you, Jesus said, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, his unblushing, if you will, he will rise and give him anything that he wants. Amen? Now, I'm going to say something. Listen very carefully. All that his friend was, our Father in heaven isn't. Amen? Do you understand that? Oh, listen. No, our Father says come anytime, day or night. He doesn't care if it's midnight. God doesn't have a midnight. Amen? He doesn't say, oh, it's midnight, Bill. Why are you praying to me? Why are you bothering me? Don't bother me now. You know, it's 12:30 and everybody's asleep in heaven. No, he doesn't do that at all. Listen, God is more available to us than any person on all the earth. And we can go to him anytime. He's never asleep. And our Father wants fellowship with his creation, with his sons and his daughters. And I look at there and I say, oh Lord, listen, this man, the reason he received bread was because of his persistence. But that was with his friend. You know, I promise you, if I came to your house and just said, knocked on at midnight, wouldn't you love that? Hey, I need something to eat. Would you help me? You'd say, I'm going to shoot you, Bill. You know, you're going to be a preacher, a dead preacher. No, listen, God's not like that. He wants us to come to him anytime at all. The word persistence there literally means shamelessness. Very important. Unblushing. In other words, if I went to my best friend at midnight, I wouldn't, and he was, I mean, he may say to me, hey, Bill, what in the world's wrong with you? You know, it's midnight. Don't bother me. I say, listen, I have a problem. I need some food. I need something. You know, he's going to finally get out of bed and help me. Amen. But it was because of that. But I wouldn't blush about it. I wouldn't be in shame about it because you're my friend. But you know, sometimes friends let you down. But see, God will never let you down. So that word persistence literally means shamelessness. So shameless, showing lack of shame, having no sense of shame, not shameful, like, oh, I'm shameful, but no, shameless praying where you say, Lord, listen, I'm not ashamed of the things I'm asking you. Oh, no, my face is not blushing. I know what your will is. I know what the word of God says. I'm not ashamed about anything. So Jesus is saying this, that when we go to our Father who loves us, who sent Jesus to die for us, who's now adopted us, sealed us with the Holy Spirit of promise until the day that he purchased, we get to the day of redemption, the day we go home. Jesus is saying, come to the Father in your prayer time He says, and do it with boldness, confidence in prayer. Meaning don't ever, ever give up. Remember the Lord's Prayer. It's not about our will of being done. It's God's will. Amen. And sometimes, I mean, does God answer prayer? Absolutely. Sometimes he says yes. And when he does, praise the Lord. And then sometimes he says no. And then sometimes he says, we're going to have to wait for a while. Well, I'm going to ask you a question. Do you trust God with his answer? Amen. God knows if we need to wait. God knows what we should learn what it means. So Warren Wiersbe, a great Bible commentator, this is what he said about this passage. He says, why does God our Father in heaven answer prayer? Well, not just to meet the needs of his children, but to meet them in such a way that brings glory to his name. Then he says, hallowed be thy name, to hallow the name of God, to honor the name of God. When God's people pray, listen carefully, when God's people pray, Warren says, God's reputation is at stake. The way he takes care of his children is a witness to the world that he can be trusted. God cannot lie. Titus 1:2. God cannot lie. His promises are all yes in Christ Jesus. Amen? So we can trust the Lord. So Jesus said, when you come to the Lord, do it with that shameless. Don't be ashamed. Be with that persistence and say, you know, and the boldness that we have. Never giving up. You know, we are a people, Hebrews 4:16, we are a people where it says, let us come, what? Boldly. Boldly. That means with fearless confidence. It means shameless. Oh, Lord, here we're coming boldly to the, what? The throne of grace. Not the throne of judgment. The throne of grace where all of our sins have been washed away. Amen? We go and say, oh, God, thank you so much. And not one charge is against us. So we come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain something. It says mercy and find grace and help in time of need. Listen, our Father is never asleep. He is always ready, so willing to hear us and to help us in any situation. So we have access to the throne room of God by virtue of our relationship with Jesus Christ. The blood has now cleansed us from all sin. It says in Hebrews 10:19, it says, brethren, having, here it is, boldness, that free and fearless boldness and courage and shamelessness to come to enter the holiness by the blood of Jesus. Let me ask you a question. By the blood of Jesus, which is greater, our sin or the blood of Jesus? The blood of Jesus that has completely erased all of our sin. Thank God for that. Now look at the promise of prayer when we pray persistently. It says there, Jesus said in verse 9, so I say to you, ask, and look at the promise, it will be given to you. Seek, ye shall find. Knock and it will be open to you. For everyone, meaning believers, everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Ask, seek, knock is in the present imperative tenses, which would read literally like this. Keep on asking or continue to ask. Don't ever give up. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Don't give up until you hear a word from God, a word from heaven. And these three verbs here, it seems like it gets a progression of intensity, if you will. I personally believe that when it says ask and it shall be given, I believe that is the known will of God. When we pray what we know is the will of the Lord for our life. But I believe when it says seek and you shall find, that means there's a little bit more difficulty there. That's probably the unknown will of God. I mean, Lord, do I marry this person? Do I not marry this person? Do I take this job? Do I not take this job? You understand what I'm saying? You don't have a scripture for that, do you? No. You have to seek the unknown will of God. Lord, is this your perfect will? Is this your will for my life? And then the knocking. Knocking is talking about, I believe, that persistent, shameless, persistent praying. You keep it up. You're just, Lord, I'm knocking until that door is open. You know, when I was a little boy, I was raised on the farm with my grandmother and I love the farm. I mean, some of the happiest memories in my life. Some of the worst is when TCU lost it yesterday. It was the worst memory in my life, but I don't want to talk about that. And if you're a Baylor fan, please don't tell me. Let's put it that way. Now, the thing is that, so when I was a little boy, you know, we didn't wear shoes or anything. We just went out and played in the fields, and we were tough as nails back then, you know? And, but we had a screen door, and she had, you know, remember those little locks you'd put on the screen door? And so she would lock it because she didn't want me to come back in the house. And I'd sit there, and I knocked, "Grandma, let me in, Grandma, let me." She wouldn't, go play. "I'm thirsty. Go drink out of the cow's water trough, you know? You know, go gather up a cookie yourself, do something, you know?" So finally, I learned that if you hit that screen door hard enough, that little hook latch would bounce up. That's another story. Ask, seek, and knock, and the door will be open. Now listen, here's the thing that we need to really get into ourselves this morning, into our hearts, and that is this, that our hearts really must be in our asking and in our seeking and in our knocking. Not the mechanical praying, but where we go to the Lord and say, "Lord, you know my heart. Lord, I desire this. Oh, Lord, please," and so forth. Do you know that there's no greater promise found in God's word to those who belong to God, verses 9 and 10? Now, this is not some blank check. I just fill in the blank and so forth. No, we know that it must be according to God's will. Amen. But we also know from 1 John 5:14-15 that when we pray according to the will of God, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, we have the confidence that the things that we have asked, we've received of Him. Amen. Because why? We're praying from the will of God. So, but sometimes, we pray outside of the will of God, and we do it selfishly and we, with wrong motives and so forth. Lord, for example, "Lord, you know I love this guy or I love this girl, and oh God, I want to marry them, but you know, I know they're not saved and so forth, but I know that once we get married, they'll come to you." Well, is that the will of the Lord? No, you're praying outside of the will of God. And so it says in James 4:3, it says, "You ask and you have not," and here's the reason, "because you ask amiss," or you ask wrongly, "that you may spend it or waste it or squander it," if you will, "on your own pleasures," your own cravings, or the desires of your own heart, not the desires of God's heart. You know, we must believe this promise. That, you know, for example, when we ask God for wisdom, we must do so by faith. Whatever we ask God for, God wants to pour out all kinds, any wisdom that you need, God says, "I'll give it to you." But we must do it in faith. Hebrews 11:6 teaches us that it's impossible to please God without faith. Not difficult, impossible. And for those who come to Him must believe, number one, that He is, and number two, that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Well, you know, if we just say, "Well, Lord, this is what I want," He goes, "Well, you're asking amiss. We're not going to get it," but we have to always come by faith. That's why, you know, for example, a minute ago when I mentioned coming to the Lord for wisdom. Well, what did James tell us right after that? He said in James 1:7, he says, "For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, for he's a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. Any wind will blow him," just going back and forth. We must approach the Lord by faith. Look at verse 11 now. "And if a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone?" Well, of course we know the answer to that. Of course not. He says, "Well, if he asks for a fish, will he give him a snake or a serpent instead of a fish?" Well, no, he wouldn't. "Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion?" Now look what Jesus said. "If you then being what? Evil. If you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children." Look what God says. Jesus said, "How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" Isn't it amazing that Jesus said all human beings are evil? Doesn't that build your self-esteem up this morning? That's what He said. You know, what did David cry out? David cried out in Psalm 51:5. He says, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." Ecclesiastes 7:20. "For there is not a just man on the earth who does good and does not sin." Romans 3:9 says, "And all people, they are under sin." As it is written in Romans 3:10, it says, "There's none righteous, no, not one," in relation to God. Amen. It tells us in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Aren't you glad that we are in Christ Jesus this morning and that our sin is washed away? Listen, everyone has sinned in their life. So Jesus is saying, if fallen man, these parents here, he says, listen, if they know how to give good gifts to their children, and then Jesus uses some words that he's fond of, he says, how much more will your heavenly Father, the one who knows no evil, thinks no evil, there's not any darkness there at all. It says, the source of all good, how will he not give? That's a wonderful thing. Give us what? Well, it says, give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. You know, our Father will never lead us astray. Amen? Never. He'll never lead you to the wrong place. Everything that God does is always perfect. And you know, when Luke defines that good gift, it's amazing that he says the good gift that we should ask for, he says, is the Holy Spirit. There are those that I love and respect and admire, teachers of God's word, and I do not mean to be a fault finder with them, but I disagree with them. And that is there's a lot of people who say, you know, we're not, New Testament Christians are not to ever, ever pray or ask for the Holy Spirit. And the reason they say that is because there is not a record of the disciples doing such. They didn't ask for the Holy Spirit. And they say that this prayer, or what Jesus said, was actually answered on Pentecost, when Jesus told them to tarry at Jerusalem and so forth. But, you know, the disciples, question, were the disciples born again before Pentecost? Yeah, that's right, they were. Well, to be born again, you have to have the Holy Spirit. Now, did they receive the Holy Spirit before Pentecost? Yes, they did. Remember what happened in John's Gospel, chapter 20, verse 22? Jesus there, the risen Savior, after his resurrection, he breathed on the disciples and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Spirit. He breathed on them. Pneuma, the breath of God. Receive ye the Holy Spirit. Now, question, either they received the Holy Spirit or they didn't. Well, do you think that if the Son of God, who has all authority and all power that's been given unto him, do you think they received the Holy Spirit or not? Of course they did. They received the Holy Spirit right then. But then, on the day of Pentecost, they were born again, not on Pentecost, but there in John 20. And then they received the what? The endowment of power, the baptismal measure. The Holy Spirit came upon them, it says. Oh, and boy, do we need that today. I promise you we do. And then someone would say, well, Bill, you really need to study out John chapter 20, and because, you know, not all of the disciples were present. You know, Thomas wasn't there. Well, Thomas was just a loser then. No. Listen, if you read the last verse there in John 21, 25, John closes out and he says this, there are many other things Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose even the world could not contain the books that would be written. Do you think somewhere in between those great things that Jesus did, he found Thomas? Yes, of course they did. And Thomas was in the upper room along with 120, Mary, the mother of Jesus. And then, boy, the baptism of the Holy Spirit occurred, the birth of the church. Oh, thank God for that. And so, listen, we need to ask. The greatest gift that a person can ask for is the Holy Spirit. You say, why is that? Because Romans 8:9 says, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't belong to God. Amen. But we also need to ask for that filling, that flooding. Ephesians 5:18 is a command. It says, and be ye filled with the Holy Spirit, meaning over and over and over again. Listen, we need the upper room experience all the time. Amen. We need to walk in the Spirit and so forth. So boy, the Holy Spirit, our helper, our advocate, our intercessor, our teacher, our strengthener. We need all of those things. Have you ever asked for the Holy Spirit? Well, I know that you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. I know that the Holy Spirit is alongside of us, but have you ever asked, Lord, fill me? Lord, whatever happened in the upper room, if it's for me, can I have it? And it is for you. Read Acts chapter 2, verse 39. It is for all of us. Amen? We all need that wonderful endowment of power. You know what troubles me? Is that when is the last time you really asked for the Holy Spirit to fill you? You know, we are very good at begging God for bread. Lord, I have all these needs, or I need this job, I need this success. I need this healing and this provision. And there's nothing wrong with that. But we're good at that, but we're not good at going, Lord, fill me today. Overcome me today. Saturate me today. All we have to do is, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Wow. Not beg. Lord, I'm asking you. I'm asking you for this church. Oh, Lord, flood us with the Spirit of God. Amen. Oh, that's what's so needed. So shameless, persistent prayer never, ever quits. It doesn't give up. But again, our hearts are so important. It must be in our asking, in our seeking, and in our knocking. Remember in the book of Acts, when Herod put Peter in prison, he was going to kill him, wanted to execute him. It says in Acts chapter 12, verse 5, it says that Peter was therefore kept in prison, and listen carefully, but constant prayer, the word constant there means intense praying, unceasing praying, continual praying. In other words, shameless, persistent prayer. Prayer was offered to God for Peter by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out, meaning to bring him out to execute him, he says, that night while Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. You know the story, how the angel came in and slapped Peter on the side, said, come on, Peter, we're getting out of here. And Peter, you know, was trying to check it all out, and the next thing you know, all these doors started opening, you know, and the doors of the, and they walked out, and Peter was found outside. You know what persistent prayer did in this case? It fetched an angel from heaven. Amen. Think about that. That really happened. That's not some fairy tale. And you know, Peter, there he is. He's outside. He's going to make his way to where the disciples and everybody else was praying. It says, and so Peter shows up. It says in Acts 12:13, he's knocking on the door, and a girl named Rhoda came to answer. And when she recognized Peter's voice because of her gladness, she didn't even open the gate, but ran in and announced, oh, that Peter stood before the gate. Isn't it funny? You know, Peter could get out of prison, couldn't get into a prayer meeting, you know? It says, but they said to her, you're beside yourself. And yet she kept insisting, said, you know, boy, listen, they said, no, it's his angel. You know what I can't understand is that constant prayer, they were praying and praying and praying, not giving up. And yet their prayer was answered and they didn't even believe it. And so they said, oh, it's Peter's angel, like his guardian angel. No, other people are saying, well, it's his spirit, you know, no. So Peter, what did he do? He just kept knocking and knocking on that door, and they finally let him in. You hear me say it all the time. I didn't key this phrase. Prayer is the work. It is. Prayer is the work. And we need to be people that are persistent, shamelessly in prayer. Lord, we're just going to keep praying. We're going to keep praying no matter how. But our hearts have to be right in our asking and in our seeking and in our knocking. See, we need to be the church, and we are the church unashamed. Amen? You know, I don't have a problem bowing my head at Luby's and giving thanks for my food. Or in a cafe, you know, with a bunch of rednecks or whatever. You know what a redneck is. You understand me? I don't care who's there. That's the food God has given me. And I am going to pray over it and be thankful for it. I don't have a problem praying. I'm thankful. Listen, you know, our hearts need to be unashamed. Colossians 4:2 says this, continue earnestly in prayer. Earnestly means never give up. Shamelessly persistent. Vigilant and pray, it says, with thanksgiving. Never relaxing, never stopping. First Thessalonians 5:17, a verse that you know by heart. Pray without ceasing. Now, that doesn't mean that we're to pray every moment of the day, meaning on our knees constantly. It means that we're to be persistent and consistent in our prayer times. It says in Romans 12:12, it says, continuing steadfastly in prayer, firm in our belief, unmovable and determined in prayer. And I love this one by David there in the Psalms, Psalm 56:16 or 55:16, where he says, for as for me, I will call upon God, and he'll save me. Now listen carefully. Evening, morning, noon, I will pray aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Evening, morning, and noon is speaking of persistent praying. You know, in my younger days, I wasn't a persistent prayer. In other words, I would say, well, you know, I pray for a couple of days, and if it doesn't happen, I blow it off. You know what I mean? But now that I'm older, and because we all grow in the Lord, amen? Not saying that I'm a prayer warrior. I'm not a prayer warrior. I wish I could say that, but I'm not. But I do pray faithfully. And but I found my problem was, is that I would pray and pray and pray. And when it didn't happen, I gave up. And I always gave up too soon, and I didn't learn that until I got older. See, our answer is really, it's coming. And we, you know what we're guilty of? All of us, we've all been there, and I'm encouraging you to not be there. We give up too soon. We don't want to give up too soon. We don't want to do that at all. You know, remember what it says in James 5:16, the effective, fervent, or passionate prayer of a righteous man, not some spiritual giant, just a righteous man, availeth what? Much, meaning it's very, very powerful. So, you know, passionate, persistent, shameless praying. Man, don't ever be ashamed. Just, you want to lay hands on the sick? Lay hands on the sick. Praise the Lord and do those things. Turn with me to Luke 18. And let's look at this parable here of the persistent widow by Jesus. It says in Luke 18:1, and then Jesus spoke a parable to them, and listen carefully, that men ought always to pray and not lose heart. Don't give up. Don't be discouraged. Persistently praying over and over. Don't let the devil discourage you or anyone discourage you. He says, there was a certain city, a judge who did not fear God, didn't regard man. And there was a widow in that city, a widow, she, meaning no husband. She had no one to take care of her, no standing in the city. And she said, he said, and this widow came to him, literally, over and over and over, she came to the judge saying, get justice for me from my adversary. That's what judges are supposed to do. And he would not for a while. Now that means he continually refused her. But afterward, he said within himself, you know, I don't fear God nor regard man, but I'll tell you, because of this widow troubles me, I will avenge her lest by her persistence or her continual coming, she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said? Shall not God avenge his own elect who cry or literally pray out day and night? That's persistence to him. He bears long with them. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Listen, our Father in heaven is not like this unjust judge. Amen? Oh, he cares. You know, when you realize, and it becomes a rhema, a living thing, when information on this page of the Bible becomes a revelation in your heart, and you realize how much God loves you and wants you and wants to help you, that even in the morning, that's like this morning, I was combing my hair, you know, and a hair, I saw it flying away. And I said to myself, you counting that one too? He counts them. Amen? He numbers them. He knows, and he knows, when it says he numbers them, it means that he knows exactly where that hair belonged. It belonged right here, right? He knows. That's how much he cares for you. The psalmist has written that, you know what? Every tear that you've ever cried in your entire life, good tears, happy tears, sad tears, whatever they are, he's put them in a bottle. And he's written down a book of remembrance of what that tears mean. God knows everything. And he loves you so intensely. He's not unjust. He's never been unjust toward us. And I say, oh God, you're so good. You know, we're God's elect. And how much more does he want to answer and help us in this life? I tell you that we're living in the last days. I don't know how short it is. I don't know if the rapture is going to occur today, tonight, tomorrow. I'm just waiting. Oh, Lord, here we are. But the fact of the matter is, Jesus said, when I return, is there going to be any faith on this earth? Are we living in faithless times? We are. Oh, I look at that and I say, Lord, I want to be like that widow. I'm going to be shamelessly persistent. I'm not ashamed of coming and badgering anybody. You know, and I'm never badgering the Lord. Amen? And it's not our persistence that pays off. God says, see, prayer really is the work. And when we really understand that, that's why it's so hard to pray at times. Matter of fact, I think that it's harder to pray now than it was 10 years ago. I think it's getting harder to pray. I think the pressure and the attack, because some of you say, Bill, it's just so hard. I just don't know what to do. Listen to me. The reason that it's difficult in our prayer time is because we have an unseen enemy. He doesn't want you to pray. He wants to wear you out. He doesn't want anyone to be a persistent prayer warrior. He doesn't want anyone to, he wants us to just be a mechanical prayer person. Have a big list, and there's nothing wrong with list. I have one too. But just go through the list and say the same thing every day. Don't wait upon the Lord. Now you've had your prayer time. Now your conscience is clean. No. Prayer is when we fall at the feet of Jesus and we listen. Amen. We go through the Lord's Prayer, and the first thing we do is we start hallowing His name, loving Him, all the wonderful benefits. He's our shepherd. He's our healer. He's our peace. He's our righteousness. He's our banner. He's everything to us. There's no one better. And then we just go down and start listing all those things in the Lord's Prayer, one by one. Lord, I want Your will today. I want Your will for my family. I want Your will for the church. I want Your will for this nation. I want Your will, not my will, be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? Where the church and heaven is in agreement with one another. And we go through that whole list, and we get down and start suiting up and putting on the armor where it says, and lead us not into temptation, deliver us from the evil one. We suit ourselves up. Oh, listen. We need to do that daily. Sit at His feet. Listen. Put on the armor. The Lord's Prayer, all of that. But then we move into that persistence of prayer where we're asking, we're seeking, and we're knocking. All of those things, and so important. We have an unseen enemy that'll do anything to stop you from hearing from God. Amen? Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to turn into the Old Testament to the book of Daniel. Right after the book of Ezekiel, you'll find Daniel, okay? And let me kind of set this up for you. Go to Daniel chapter 10. And there in the Old Testament, right after the book of Ezekiel. And Daniel tells us in chapter 10 that he was mourning, okay? And that he didn't eat any food, it says. He didn't eat any meat. He didn't drink any wine. And matter of fact, he didn't even bathe for 21 straight days. I bet that was about 21 straight days. You know what I mean. So he was in persistent prayer alone with God for 21 days, fasting and so forth. He wanted an answer from God. Now look at Daniel 10, verse 10. Look what happened. It says, and suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, oh, Daniel, this is that angel, okay? Oh, Daniel, man greatly beloved. Wouldn't it be wonderful? You know what? Wouldn't you love to get a word from God like that? Even though we are greatly beloved. Matter of fact, Ephesians 1:6 tells us that we are accepted in the beloved, which means, you hear me say it so often, that God loves us just like He loves His own Son. Amen? Oh, we are accepted in the beloved. So, oh, Daniel, greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you. Now stand up, you know, shape up here, you're wobbling and so forth. For I have been sent to you. And while he was speaking this word to me, Daniel says, I stood trembling. Now listen carefully. And then he said to me, oh, do not fear, Daniel. From the third day that you prayed, from the very first day, not the second day, not the third day or the third week. Oh, Daniel, listen. From the very moment you opened your mouth, that you set your what? You see, it's got to be our hearts. Our heart has to be right in our seeking and our asking and our knocking. It's so important that our heart be right. He says, from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself, meaning to understand the future of Israel. That's what he was praying about. He says, before the Lord your God, your words were what? Heard. His prayer was heard. And I've come because of your words or your prayer. See, again, persistent prayer is the work. Now look at verse 13, talking about why sometimes it's so hard to pray and it doesn't seem like we're getting an answer. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me how many days? There's a 3-week battle here, folks. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, one of the angels of God, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. It says there in verse 13 again, the prince of the kingdom of Persia. He's not talking about a man. He's talking about a wicked fallen angel that's over a nation. Amen? Oh, we look at that and listen, this angel is incredible. He is giving, this blows me away, he's giving Daniel an explanation as to why his prayer wasn't answered 21 days ago. That's so important for us. Listen, sometimes I know you're like me. I have people that I'm praying for. I mean, constantly praying for. I'm not going to let up. I'm not going to give up, and I'm not going to shut up until I get an answer. Amen. And you know, some of you are praying for maybe your marriage or your children's marriages or your children for their salvation, whatever it is. Don't quit. Don't ever give up. And you say, Bill, it's just so hard. Everything. I mean, I can't even get a word out. Well, there is a war going on. There is a battle happening right now. We fight against principalities and powers of darkness. Amen? We're not fighting against flesh and blood. No, that's why we can't pray in the flesh. That's why we have to pray in the Spirit, building ourselves up, praying our most holy faith in the Holy Spirit. Amen? That's what it's all about. And I look and I say, oh God, oh, the Prince of Persia, this wicked fallen angel, what is he doing? He's trying to stop the assignment of God and hinder God's people. And he did it for 3 long weeks. That's why, remember in the Lord's Prayer, when it says, where we pray, oh Lord, one of the greatest things we can pray, oh Lord, lead us not into temptation. In other words, we don't want to be tempted. We don't want trouble. And deliver, or literally rescue us from the evil one. Well, we've already been rescued. Amen. But we still have to stand and resist him. So remember how we put on all the pieces of the armor. You know, we put on the belt of truth and so forth, you know, and the breastplate of righteousness, and we shod our feet with the shoes of peace and so forth, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, about quenches all the fiery darts of the devil. Am I in a hurry? Which quenches all the fiery darts of the wicked one. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And that's where we stop. But see, there's a battle out there. There's a battle out there. Satan doesn't want you to pray. He doesn't want me to pray. He doesn't want us to be shamelessly persistent. He wants us to just be shameful. I don't pray enough. God says, you can. Yes. See, we don't put on that next piece of armor. Remember what it says there? You know, it says in Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all kinds of prayer and supplication in the Spirit, meaning in the Holy Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance. Don't ever give up. And supplication for all the saints. We're all under attack, praise God, and we're all going to win. Now listen carefully. That's one of the reasons it's hard to pray. There's a battle going on. But we need to be persistent in our prayer time. But there's another reason, and this reason here is something we all need to look at every day, okay? And that's this. Sometimes, you know, I say, Lord, you seem so far away. Where are you, Lord? Well, I know you'll never leave me. I know you'll never forsake me, but where are you? I mean, every child of God needs a hug every now and then, right? And, you know, the thing that we need to do is that when that happens, we need to do a heart check. We need to just check out our heart, man, and make sure it's okay. You see, because the Bible says in Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, remember our heart has to be in our asking, seeking, and knocking. If I regard iniquity in my heart, it says the Lord won't hear me. He won't hear my prayer. It says in Isaiah 59:2, but your iniquities, talking about Israel, they've separated you from God, and your sins has hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. I tell married couples all the time, 1 Peter 3:7, about, you know, that when you're married, you know, you're God's daughter and you're God's son. And, you know, you're married, now God's made you one flesh. And if you're going to beat one another up verbally or be unkind to one another, the Bible says in 1 Peter 3:7, God says your prayers will be hindered. Literally, that word means cut off. They won't get any higher than the ceiling. That's it. And the reason is why? You're not treating each other the way God said that you need to treat one another. Now, he does that because he loves you. He's chastening you and disciplining you. He wants you to treat one another nicely in love. Amen? All right. Now, our hearts have to be clean. And that's so important. I want you to look now. You're in Daniel already. Just look at there at chapter 9 with me. Daniel chapter 9. I believe that this is the finest example of prayer found anywhere in the entire Old Testament. Sometimes I just read this to me in my quiet time and pray along with Daniel. And because I want my heart to always be right before the Lord. And you know, this is not some public prayer. This is a very private prayer. By this time in Daniel 9, Daniel, he's 85 years old. And remember, he was taken into captivity as a teenager. He's been there in Babylon, you know, and so forth. And I know that we could read this whole thing, and I can't do that. It only takes about 3 minutes, but we don't have the time this morning. But let me set this up for you. See, what happened is that Daniel, in his prayer time and in his reading, he was reading the book of Jeremiah, the prophet. And he was probably reading from Jeremiah 25 through 29, but probably primarily chapter 29, when he found out that the Babylonian captivity, that's where he was. He was in Babylon, remember. As a matter of fact, all of Judah was in Babylon, Babylonian captivity. He found out that the number of years that God was going to allow the captivity of Judah, the southern kingdom, was 70 years. Well, he realized that when he saw that, the 70 years, there was only 4 years left. And he just went crazy, man. He was going, oh, this is incredible. And so what did he do? He started praying, but he was praying the known will of God. He was saying, Lord, this is what your word said. You see, that's why I'm saying we can trust the promises of God in our own life. And he starts saying, Lord, I've been reading this. I'm reading this, man. And it's nearly over with. The captivity is nearly finished. And so let's pick it up in verse 3. It says, then, after he discovered that there was only 4 years left in the captivity, okay? He said, then I did something. Look what it said. He set my face. That right there, when he says, I set my face, that means that shameless, persistent prayer. He's going after God. He says, oh, I set my face toward the Lord to make requests. And look how I did it. By prayer, by supplications, by fasting, sackcloth, ashes. I'm going to tell you what. He took off his royal robes because he was a ruler there. Remember, under Nebuchadnezzar, he's one of the wisest people in the kingdom. And he took all that off and he put on ashes and sackcloth, and which rubbed against your body and drove you crazy and all of that. And he says, I need you, Lord. I'm praying for you. He's persistent in his prayer. And I prayed to the Lord my God. And look what he did. He made what? Confession. That's what we should do all the time. Lord, is my heart wrong? I want to pray, but I want my heart to be right. He made confession and said, listen to what he did. Oh Lord, great and awesome God. Do you know what he's doing? Same thing that we do when we do the Lord's Prayer. He just hallowed our Father which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. He's hallowing the name of God. He says, oh, you're great, Lord. You're awesome, God. And look what he does, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him, with those who keep his commandments. And look what he says now. We have what? Lord, we've sinned. We've committed iniquity. Lord, we've done wickedly. Lord, we've rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. Did you notice that Daniel didn't say Israel? He said all of Israel. He said, and he included himself. He identified himself with his people. Amen? Why? Well, it's the same thing with us. Are we one body? Are we one loaf? Does our sin affect one another? Absolutely, we're the body of Christ. And I look at it and I say, oh God, you know what? What if I stood up this morning at the very beginning of our service? And what if I'd opened with prayer? And what if I said something like, oh Lord, all of us, we've sinned, God. Oh God, we've lied one to another. We've destroyed brothers and sisters on Facebook, Lord. We've hurt other people. Oh God, we're a people who will not serve. Oh God, we're a people who will not give. We're a people who are horribly prayerless. Would you have enjoyed that? You'd have said, well, Bill, there is a church across the street I could go to. I wonder if I said, oh God,
We're full of fornication in the church today. We don't pray anymore. We want to be served. We don't want to serve. Oh Lord, there's so many things that are happening. I wonder in these last days if the true church of the living God might need to pray like that again and say, Lord, you know what? I do want to get my heart right. I do want to get right with you. Look at verse 7 as he continues to pray. He says, oh Lord, righteousness belongs to you, but to us what? Oh, I'm talking about shameless persistence this morning. Has Jesus taken our shame? You thank God in our guilt and our sin. Oh, but you know what? When your heart is just not right, look what he says. He says, oh Lord, but to us shame of face as it is this day. Now look who he says that to. To the men of Judah, that's the southern kingdom. To the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the ones who stayed behind after the Babylonian captivity when Nebuchadnezzar came in there in 586 BC and leveled Jerusalem and took them all off into the southern kingdom into captivity in Babylon for 70 years. He says, Lord, all of Israel, those that are near, those that are far, and all the countries in which you've scattered them. And the reason it happened, look carefully, because of the unfaithfulness which they have committed against you. Verse 8, O Lord, to us belongs shame. Shame of face meaning, you know, the word persistence means not to blush. This word means we are need to blush. We're blushing. That's what he said, that we need that. We need to blush again, okay? We shame of face, and not only just us, but look at the leadership, very important. He says, our kings, our princes, our fathers, and the reason again is because we have sinned against you. Now listen carefully. Israel, I'm talking about prayer, I'm talking about our hearts. Israel was so familiar with living in sin that it no longer brought conviction to their hearts. In other words, they'd lost the power to blush, the shame of face. He says, Lord, to us belongs the shame of face, but we're not blushing anymore. We're not blushing at all concerning sin. We don't even have the power to blush anymore. Daniel said, oh God, we are embarrassed. We are embarrassed before you. I'll tell you something. I look at, and you say, Bill, you're depressing. I'm not depressing. I'm telling you the truth, and you know it. I look at our nation. I look at the church, all of us, the corporate church, the church in America. Let's just say that. And I say, oh God, we need to pray this. We need to pray this before it's too late. We need to pray this because you know what? We need to say to us belongs shame of face. You know, I look at this and I say, our nation. I mean, just look at TV today. Look at the things that are, it's just shameful. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you can't watch anything anymore, hardly. You know? I mean, Tom and Jerry cartoons, maybe. You know? No, listen. We live in a shameless society. And you know what I think? I don't think our society is ashamed of anything. Do you know what they're doing right now over in Europe and the Netherlands? I mean, not the Netherlands, Germany. Do you know that a group of psychiatrists and doctors and lawyers and people have now assembled and petitioning the government? They're petitioning the government. You know what they're petitioning it for? They want a change in the law. And meaning that they want, here's what they want. They want that consensual sex between siblings be authorized. More than that, listen to me now. I'm not kidding you. They're also saying that they want consensual, if a sibling, a brother, sister, whatever, if they want to marry, they should be allowed to marry. Do you understand what that's going to do? They're petitioning it. They didn't say it passed. That we live in a shameful world. And if they're, and the church won't even pray anymore. And you say, Bill, you're beating me up and I need help. No, you need to pray. It says if you need help, where do you go? The throne of grace. Where you can obtain mercy and find what? Help. In time of need. Well-timed help. See, it's all about prayer. It's all about being men and women of prayer. That we're praying one for another, but we're praying and blamelessly loving the Lord. Our church and the nation should blush again. And I realize I can't blame everything on the White House. We need to blame it on God's house. Amen. Now listen, let's look at this last verse. Go to verse 19. I love this verse. I love Daniel. Look what he says in verse 19. I'm talking about shameless, persistent prayer this morning with our hearts being right. He says, O Lord, hear. I love that. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen. O Lord, act. In other words, do what your word promised. Don't delay. O Lord, do it as soon as you can. For your own sake, my God, for your own city, for your own people are called by your name. Now listen to me. Israel's sin was horrific. They didn't sin for a season. Don't get comfortable yet. Restless. I might preach another hour. No, listen. Israel's sin wasn't just for a quick little moment. Their sin went on for hundreds and hundreds of years. Are you following me? God cried out to them over and over and over, return unto me, please. I'll heal your backsliding. You know, I'll turn from your wicked ways. Come back to me. God says in his word, what do you find wrong with me? Why do you not want me anymore? And they went out and they worshiped every false idol. They offered their children to Molech. Remember, they sacrificed their children alive. The children of Israel did that. Hundreds and hundreds of years of living in wicked ways, turning their back on God, even though they had the covenant of God. Was their sin great? Yes. Now listen to me. No matter how great our sin, God's forgiveness, God's grace in Christ Jesus is greater than any sin. Amen. Oh, how we need to always remember that we can come to the Lord and say, Lord, you know what? I am prayerless. Lord, I'm not walking right. Lord, my heart is full of junk. Whatever it might be, I'll tell you, God's grace, where sin abounded, grace does much more abound. Amen. I tell you, I'm so thankful for God. I'm so thankful for the blood. But you know what? We need to be people that pray now. That really pray. You should have our nation, all the things that are happening across the world. You can go, you know, prayer, I know it's time to go, but prayer knows no limits. See, you can be praying for China, then jump right over and pray for the TCU. You understand? You know, it's a little humor, guys, okay? You can tell I'm grieving over this, aren't you? You understand what I mean? No. The Bible says in Psalm 130, verse 4, but there is forgiveness with God. That's a good word. To send our sins as far as the east is from the west. There's no one like our Lord. Amen. Let's be a people that really pray, that we ask, that we seek, and that we really knock. Amen. Father, I thank you this morning. I thank you for those that are listening in live and those that are here, if they don't know you, if they've never, ever asked Jesus Christ to be their Lord, I pray for them, Father, right now, that they would cry out wherever they are and simply say, God, forgive me. God, save me. Jesus, be the Lord of my life right now. Come and live in my heart. And if you'll pray that prayer, God will save you right where you are. And Lord, today we do lift up our nation. Oh God, we lift up just the things that are happening across the world, especially though in our own society. But Lord, more than that, we the church, if we have sinned in any way by mind, Lord, by thought, by action, by deed, if we've grieved, quenched, vexed the Holy Spirit of God in any way, then Lord God, we repent right now. Cleanse us, O Lord. Revive us again. And Lord, may we be a people that are shameless when we approach the throne of God. Oh, God, bless your people. Lord, meet every need this morning. Those that are hurting and wounded and whatever might be happening, touch them right now. Those that need provision, whatever it might be, touch them right now. Provide right now, Lord. Those that may be sick in their body, oh, Lord, even touch them as well. Those that are lonely, whatever they're going through. Oh, Lord, help them. Lift them up. Lift them up out of the mire, Lord, the depression, whatever it is. Those that are seeking employment, God, I know you're the provider and it's going to happen. So bless them now. Touch them, Lord. May their homes be filled and flooded with your peace. May they have a supernatural peace in the workplace, Lord. May they have a peace when they drive to work, when they come home from work or go to school, whatever they do. If the housewives, they're just labor day in and day. Lord, give them a peace. Bless their children. We love you now. We praise you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And the church says, amen. Let's stand.